Just 2 days ago, we entered into a very holy season year, and it's called the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday. The priest, when he's imposing the ashes on the forehead, has two options of what he can say. These options are actually taken from the Bible. First is Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, and it is, remember that you are dust, you shall return to dust. Second was taken from Mark chapter 1, verse 15, and it is repent and believe in the gospel. What do those two phrases mean? They mean the first, that one day we're going to die. Our mortality, that our life is very short. We don't know when the Lord's going to call us, but the Lord's going to call us one day. And the next is, it's a call to conversion. Call to conversion. And if you go to Mass on Ash Wednesday, you listen to the Gospel according to Matthew, in which our Lord offers us three practices that we should try to implement so that we can arrive at that conversion. I like to present in a tri-dimensional way. We have to go up, we have to go in, and we have to go out. And we have to go up, in, and out. Up, we have to go up to God. In, we go into ourselves through penance. And out, through acts of charity. So what are those? Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Prayer, all of us should be trying to pray a little bit more. You can choose the way you want to pray. That's up to you. Obviously, the best prayer in the world would be the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. You probably can't go to Mass every day, but maybe you can go to Mass three times a week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can probably do that. Friday, you can maybe just go to Mass right after this. Saturday, you don't have school. Sunday, obviously, you have to go. You have to come anyway. No? That, by far, is the greatest prayer. Then, with respect to fasting, fasting is obligatory from 18 to 59. So none of you are in that category yet. So you don't have to fast, but you still can make sacrifices. Well, you can fast if you want. Abstinence, yes, you have to deny yourself eating meat on Fridays as well as Ash Wednesday. With respect to penance, think about something you can give up. It can be many, many things, but something you can give up. And by doing that, by saying no to something that you like, you're saying yes to the love of God. Maybe something you like to eat. We all have our favorite foods. Giving up something you like to eat. And it's not that you're being masochistic. You know what masochism means? Just suffering for the sake of suffering. That's useless. You want to suffer that because you want to unite yourself with Christ, who suffered and died on the cross for us. That's the primary motivation. You want to do it for love of God. And almsgiving is not simply giving an extra 50 cents in the collection box on Sunday. Well, you can do that, fine. But almsgiving is charity. And trying to treat people with dignity, with respect, with kindness, with compassion, with concern. That's the essential meaning of almsgiving, is it goes beyond the mere giving monetarily, but treating people with great respect and love. I sometimes warn people of the danger of the Rip Van Winkle complex. Whenever you read the Rip Van Winkle, he was very, very good to all people outside his house. helping people with their broken fences, with their doorknobs on right, and cutting their grasses and doing errands for them. But his own house was a disaster. If you understand Spanish, the Spanish proverb is this. It's a good one. Candil en la calle, oscuridad en la casa. That's a good one. Candil en la calle, oscuridad en la casa. Know what that means? Oh, you've forgotten your Spanish, huh? It's a good one, though. Candil en la calle, oscuridad la casa. Candil is, you probably forgot most of your Spanish, but candil is a poetic way of saying a candle. En la calle means in the street. Oscuridad, yeah, like that, yeah. Oscuridad, you know what the word obscurity means in English? It means darkness in la casa. So you're really kind to the confirmation students, you're kind at school, you're kind at sports, and you come home, you turn into a monster. And that happens at times, you know, you're kind of like Jekyll and Hyde, you got doble cara, as they say. You're one person at home, then you're another person when you leave the house. No? You got to be careful. So work on maybe being charitable at home. That could be a really good almsgiving. And there's probably someone in your house that drives you bananas or drives you nuts. Huh? Probably one. And this may not occur to you. Maybe you do it to someone in your family too. Okay, so it's a two-way street, no? Only God is perfect, right? So it's probably a two-way street. Maybe we bug our parents or someone in the family and we think that they're the cause of our unhappiness, no? The cause of our unhappiness is our own selfishness. When we're selfish, then that brings a lot of unhappiness to us. Okay, good. So that's an intro. So we'll pass out our worksheet. So by now, all of you, hopefully, you've already chosen something to do for Lent. Have you?
Yes.
Good. And better that you do maybe three simple things that can be carried out rather than doing something, things that are go way beyond your capacity. Carla, do me a favor. Sit right here. I don't see anyone sitting in this chair. It's a nice chair. And I can actually see the letters K-A-R-L-A written on it. You got pretty good eyes. Okay? Carla. Why don't you just move over one chair, okay? Move over one chair. Okay, this is a very important lesson. Its topic is our first parents and original sin. Oh, you have your sheet and you got a pencil? Yeah? Good. Our first parents and original sin. God created everything out of love, especially for us, man and woman. After creating the sea and the sky, the mountains and the immense sea and all that swims in it, after creating the plants and the animals, God finally created both man and woman. The name of the first person created in the image and likeness of God were Adam and Eve. Okay. Just aware it was Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve, right? There's a difference, right? Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? They were our first parents. In fact, Adam and Eve were and are the first parents of all the people that would follow, including you and me. Adam and Eve were different than the rest of creation, and in many ways. First, they had an immortal soul. Next, they were endowed with intellect to know the truth, and they were endowed with the will to choose between good and bad, right and wrong. God gave both of them freedom. This is called free will. In other words, they were not like a mechanical robot. Love and freedom. God loved Adam and Eve with an infinite and limitless love as he does you and me. However, God wanted both Adam and Eve to love him back, and this is called, this so-called love for God meant that they had to be tested by the use of their free will. The test. What was the test that Adam and Eve had to pass? Very simple. God had created many things and all were beautiful and perfect. Also, God created many trees with delicious fruits hanging from them. Both Adam and Eve could eat from all of the trees in the Garden of Eden, except from the tree in the middle of the garden called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The failure. Despite God's love for Adam and Eve and his warning not to eat from that forbidden fruit, Eve was tempted to eat by the serpent underneath the tree. Eve did not listen to God, but to the devil. She sinned by disobeying God. Original sin. Now, this sin that Eve committed was called original sin. This means that it was the first sin committed by a human person. The social effect of sin. Eve shared the forbidden fruit with her husband Adam. And he also ate from it. Adam also is responsible for committing original sin. Eve ate and passed it on to Adam. This is called the social effect of sin. This means that our sin affects others. The effects of sin in the world. Due to the original sin committed by our first parents, Adam and Eve, the world was drastically changed. Human person also was drastically changed. The original sin was like, you ever heard the word tsunami? You know what a tsunami is, Anthony? What is that? What is it? Can it kill people? Quite a few? Yeah, about 10 years ago in India, there was India, Pakistan, Indonesia, there was killed about 300,000 people. There was a huge wave engulfed part of India and a couple other countries. But I use that term because original sin extends from Adam and Eve until the end of the world. We're all affected by original sin. I call it a moral tsunami. Not a physical, but a moral tsunami. The original sin was like a tsunami that would affect the whole world until the end of time. Okay, before reading this, let's go through some of the effects of original sin. Okay, the natural world, you have excessive heat, you got monsoons, you got earthquakes, you got tornadoes there in Alabama. You had about 35 people that were killed by that tornado. No? All of this is a result of original sin. Before you were born, when I arrived here, there was the famous Northridge earthquake that had its epicenter right there in right around Burbank, about 25 miles north of us. That's as a result of original sin. Okay, now in the animal world, the animals become rebellious against us. For Adam and Eve sinned, you could go and you could pet a tiger and a lion and a polar bear and there'd be no problem. Now if you pet a lion, a bear, or a polar bear, you're going to become a human hamburger. Okay? They'll rip you to pieces, okay? As a result of original sin. Even pit bulls, right? You got to keep a certain distance from pit bulls, otherwise they'll attack you. No? Now, in the woman, none of you are mothers yet, but ask your mom when you're born if there was any pain involved in that. Did you ever ask her? Ask her tonight. You say, oh, no, I was just chewing bubble gum and listening to the Beatles, the rock and roll music, and it was just a piece of cake, no? You think so? No, I mean, not to scare you from your possible maternity in the future, but as a part of original sin, women bring forth children in pain, right? Ask your mom, no? Now with man, it was a little bit different. He'll earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. This you read in Genesis chapter 3. Okay, also, there's a certain darkening of the intellect. Darkening intellect. Okay, maybe a good way to understand this. How's your mother's English? Is it perfect? Do they work at it a little bit? Have you tried to learn some English? A little bit? Even though they strive, and when you go to the store, you say, Mom, don't open up your mouth. Yeah, I don't want you to embarrass me, right? Probably. Well, I say it because as a result of original sin, there's a certain darkening of the intellect. Like when I was in college the first year, I got like an A, but I got an F in cultural math. I don't have a math brain. But writing and reading and philosophy, theology, piece of cake. That's as a result of original sin. A certain darkening of the intellect. Then a weakening of the will. Okay, I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to lose 3 pounds, no? And then there's a big party and you go to town, you end up by putting on a pound and a half more, right? That's because of original sin, is that our will is weak. One of the girls here that usually comes is not here because she's sick. I was talking with the mother. As a result of original sin, we get sick at times. You ever get sick? Well, that's because of original sin. And there's a Gallup poll that came out. Gallup poll that do statistics. A Gallup poll came out last year and it proved, they say that 100% of the people living today one day will die. Would you agree with that? Aiden, would you agree with that? Would you? It's kind of funny, isn't it? We're all going to die, right? So as a result of original sin, all these things happen. There's social tension, there's upheaval, there's wars. All of this is a result of original sin. Anthony, you know the difference between the Lutheran Christian anthropology and the Catholic anthropology? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. The Lutherans think we're basically corrupt by nature. We're saved if we place our faith in Jesus Christ. Once saved, you're always saved. So we're like a mound of dung covered over by snow. That's what Martin Luther said. Ask your dad. Whereas we believe that we're basically good, the human nature, but we have a proclivity towards evil, a tendency toward evil. So that's a different anthropology. Anthropology means what? The study of man. That we're basically good, but because of original sin, we got this tendency toward evil. I don't know if they do it in California, but a tug of war, you ever do a tug of war? Have that in school? You got like five guys in this part, the other five in this, and they're pulling. And there's a mud puddle with a crocodile in the middle. No? You have that? No? But at least a mud puddle, right? At least a mud puddle, right? Yeah, there have to be some recompense, right? We have a certain tug of war within us. You know, we're pulled in the wrong direction, and the grace of God pulls us in the right direction. So, if we don't pray and receive the sacraments, we fall into the mud. Yeah. We fall into the quicksand, and the quicksand can get up to your eyebrows if you don't cry out to God to help through prayer and grace. So that's original sin. And there was one person that was born without original sin. Actually, two.
Mary.
And who else? So Jesus and Mary, they didn't have original sin. For that reason, the poet Wordsworth, he said, Mary is our tainted nature's solitary boast. Our tainted nature's solitary boast. She's the only one. And we boast the fact that Mary had no original sin. We had it. But we get rid of it. Baptism, right? But still the effects are there. So that's a brief summary of the effects of original sin in nature, in the animal world, in the woman, in the man, in all the created world. Got that, Max? Okay. God brings good out of evil. A very important and consoling point is the following. God allows evil to bring greater good out of it. Looking at our lives, we can see this if we replay the film of our lives. God allowed Adam and Eve to sin. Original sin. However, due to original sin, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to the world to show us how to live, to teach us, to love us so much that He died on the cross and rose from the dead, so we would be saved and be able to go to heaven. How intelligent and loving God the Father is towards us and all of humanity. Questions to respond to on the topic of Adam and the original sin. Who were the first persons that God created in the world? They were? The first man and? First woman. So Adam, what does Adam mean? Taken from the earth, and Eve means the mother of all the living. So if you go to the Hebrew, that's the etymological derivation of those two words. Mary is the mother of all the living, and Adam means taken from the earth. Okay, next. How were they different than all the other elements of creation? Adam and Eve both had immortal souls. Immortal souls. So once your dog or your cat or your pet parakeet Pete, if that's his name, they die, that's it. That's it. Where we die, our soul is going to live forever. Our body dies. Our soul is going to live forever. So we have an immortal soul. Immortal means it will never die. They also were endowed with a mind that could reason, understand, with imagination, creativity. Furthermore, they were gifted with free will. So as to choose between good and bad. Between good and bad. There's a Protestant belief, Calvinism, which means everything is predetermined. Which means there's no free will. We've never believed that. No, we have free will. So we choose where we're going to go. So if someone loses his soul, it's not God's fault. We made bad choices, right? I mean, God loves us so much, He gives us free will. The problem is we can either use it or we can abuse it. We want to use it, not to abuse it. Okay, love demands freedom, and how were they tested? They were tested by God in this one commandment. Not to eat the fruit from the tree. In the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I've often thought about this. You know, maybe there were a thousand trees. Ever think about that? I mean, God created variety, right? You ever go to an aquarium? Look at the variety of the different fish. Even in one species, you see a huge variety. You know, how great God is. Or you look at different flowers. No, so many different flowers. No? Or different different precious stones. You've got a diamond, you've got a jasper. Our God is a God of variety. My uncle once said, God could have created the world black and white, but He created in color. Huh? So, it could have been many, many good trees, and maybe even trees that had better fruit than that one in the middle of the garden. It's not said, but I always imagine an orchard or a plantation or many plantations usually got good tree after tree after tree after tree. So it really doesn't seem as if it were that hard. Just don't take from that one tree. We got to go through a lot of hoops. We got the Ten Commandments, huh? Easier said than done, huh? Obeying the Ten Commandments is sometimes pretty hard. Yeah, not easy. But they just had that one prohibition, not to take from that fruit. So, that being said, who was the first to be tempted? It was Eve, who stood underneath the tree. By being close to that tree, she was in the...
near occasion of sin.
Perfect. She was in the near occasion of sin. Is this a lesson for us? Yeah. It's a huge lesson. Yes, we should try to... Yeah, avoid the near occasion of sin. We should try to avoid the near occasion of sin. Avoid playing with fire. Yeah, play with fire. You're not going to get wet, you're going to get burnt, huh? We should avoid bad company and places that will easily lead us into temptation and eventually into sin. Now think in your life, only God is perfect. When we sin, often we're near a person, place, or thing, and we shouldn't be there. You rewind the film of your life. Shouldn't have been in that place. I shouldn't have been with that person. Shouldn't have allowed that circumstance. I was kind of walking on thin ice. I was walking on a slippery slope. You're playing with danger. You're playing with the matches. Your mom probably told you when you're 5 years old, don't play with matches, right? Did it anyway, and then you got burnt, and you learned the lesson the hard way, huh? You got burnt, no? So really, often we commit a sin because we're playing with fire. Playing with fire. So now when you go to confession, and we all should go to confession at least once a month, try to think, okay, I sinned. What was the near occasion of sin that kind of led me into that? They'll help you make a better confession. Okay, an example. A very serious problem today, it has been for many years, is might be in the case of some of your relatives, is drinking. Say, for example, you have maybe your father or your uncle has you got a problem with drinking. He's weak in that area. Okay, so do you know what una manda is in Spanish? Una manda, un juramento. You lost all your Spanish. Huh? Una manda, yeah.
Promise?
They make a promise. For the Mexicans, the Mexican culture is very common. It's called una manda. This guy came up to me about 5 days ago, and he really wanted to see me. He said, he said, I made a manda not to drink for 4 years. So he said, but however, I want to break it, and I really want to go to town on the weekend because it's my birthday. He came up to me and said, well, Father, I want you to break my manda. He said, pal, go jump in the lake. I'm not going to break it. He kind of got angry at me. So what's he going to do? I just want to get bombed out the weekend before Ash Wednesday and then go back to it, no? They told him, no, I'm not going to give you that permission. He was no happy camper. So what he was really asking me, can I just sin on that week and then go back to my manda? No. And not to say, you know, the Protestants say some you can't drink. Some of the Southern Baptists that are very, very conservative, you know, drinking is a sin. Do we believe that? Now, you're minors, you shouldn't drink, but, you know, technically, if you're of age, it's not a sin to have a glass of wine. It's not a sin to have maybe a beer. However, if you drink a little bit of wine, then you have to drink two bottles afterward. Or you drink a beer, and then it's Miller time. You got to go for the six-pack. And 2 6-packs, 6 plus 6, I think is 12. You're going to be blitzed. You're going to be bombed out, huh? So if you can't control your liquor, then just drink Gatorade, okay? Gatorade. Or lemonade, or Coca-Cola with a little bit of ice in it, okay? So that for someone that has problem with drinking, he should not go with his drinking buddies on the weekend. No, I think I'm just going to visit them and say, hi, how are you? Have a good time. Are they going to say, hey, Juanito, ven aquí. Échate una nomás, échate una nomás, uno, no te veo muy estresado, échate una nomás. Speaking Mexican Spanish, no? Just one. Relax, let your hair down, you look like you're kind of tense. Just one. He goes in there, and he goes to town, he ends up by drinking 3 6-packs. And there he is, walking home, singing Christmas carols in the middle of March, no? So that was a near occasion of sin for him. It was. He should not have gone with his pals to drink because they're going to cajole him into going to town, going overboard. No? You got a friend of yours that lets you go to Target. She's an expert in what's called the five-finger discount. You know what the five-finger discount is? Called the five-finger discount. He's a kleptomaniac. You know what that is? What's a kleptomaniac, John?
A thief.
Yeah, someone that can't control himself whenever he goes to the store. So when you go with your friend, she can't help to go in the cosmetic place and kind of rip off the lipstick and the mascara and whatever women put on their face. I'm not very good in that vocabulary, you know? And rip it off, and you know, you just put it in there. You got a big pocket there, put it in there, just walk out the door there. So you know when you go there with her, she's not going to be able to resist. She's going to cajole you into two. Yeah, do it with me. They got a lot of the lipstick there. They're going to just throw it in the trash. Just go in your pocket out the door. There's no one there. There's no police. My police dog. Let's go. You're not going to be able to resist. You say, don't believe in that type of stuff that Padre Escobita teaches, and he's an old, old fogey from the Middle Ages. Come on, you got to wake up and smell the coffee. He's a square, you know. You have to be a little more modern, you know. Everyone else does it. Come on. Isn't that the way the devil speaks? Father of lies, huh? It's called the near occasion of sin. And that's what Eve did. She was near the near occasion of sin, which was the forbidden fruit. So keep away from it. Monday, maybe when you're 23, 24, you have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Do is go out on the weekends, go to Pollo Loco. Then you go back to your apartment, separate, you know. No near occasion of sin. And when you're maybe going on a date, bring your abuelita to sit in front of you, okay? And you're at a movie, okay? You're there, Juanita, Lupe, la abuelita, in between both of you. That'd be great, no? And your abuelita's grabbing both of your hands, okay? I think that's going to avoid the near occasion of sin, right? You have to use all the means to avoid the near occasion of sin, right, Belinda? Oh, the abuelita there. There she is. You're going to the movie, your abuelita. She's not watching the movie. She's praying the rosary. And the chaplet. Then she's reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Nothing I shall want. Huh? You got that? So next time when you're dating at 24, bring the abuelita along with you, okay? Right, Marta? Si, Padre. Okay, next. Marta, I thought you'd like that. Okay, so, number six, right? Sin in general. What is found as the essence of sin? In all sin is pride and disobedience. And it was a sin of pride and disobedience. They disobeyed God. Pride and disobedience. And forgetting about the love and care that God has for us. Who tempted Eve? It was really the devil. Disguised in the form of a serpent or a snake. As the devil tricked Eve, so the devil wants to trick us into falling into his trap and sinning. Jesus called the devil in John chapter 8. He calls him two things. Our Bible scholar, what are the two words he gives for him?
Just that my mind is not. A liar and a deceiver?
Very good. A liar and murderer. Liar and deceiver is almost the same thing. So liar and murderer from the beginning. Every time I hear that, I think about abortion. Isn't abortion murdering? And there's lies behind it? Yeah. It could happen in New York. It's a lot of lies. A lot of lies, right? And abortion is killing an innocent baby, right? Every child has a right to live, right? I mean, I call it bullying. What would happen if you had your little sister, five cholas beating her up? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Well, that's what happens when you have an abortion. You're taking advantage of a little baby that can't defend himself, right? That's the worst bullying. Yeah, bullying, you're taking advantage of the defenseless, right? And we have to stand up and be the voice of the innocent child that can't defend himself, cannot speak for himself. The silent scream, that movie, right? Okay, next. What was the sin of Adam and Eve called? This sin was called, John?
Original sin.
Because it was the first sin committed in this world. However, the sin of Satan was before the original sin. Sin of the angels before. We already talked about that, right? Yep. Okay, now. After committing the original sin, what did Adam and Eve do? Hi, God, how are you? They do that? What do they do, Diana? Okay, they hid. Because now they became afraid of God. So before, they were friends with God. Now they became afraid of God. See what sin does? makes us fear God. We got shame and worries and preoccupation. Before that, they were God's friend. So sin always produces bad fruits. Always produces bad fruits. It's kind of a lie the devil, oh, this is going to be really good. But after you finish it, you feel sad and depressed and angry and disoriented. So avoid sin. Okay. They recognized they were naked and experienced both fear and fear and shame. Close, but no cigar. Okay, fear and shame. Now, how did God react to the original sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve? Okay, God still loved Adam and Eve, but in justice due to the sin, God meted out a punishment. Yes or no? So mark that yes. Okay. Okay. On Eve, she would suffer pain in having children. Yes or no? Yes. That's your mom that just had the baby. Okay. Next, on Adam, he would have to work hard and earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. Yes or no? Yes. What are some of the other consequences of original sin on all of humanity, including you and me? Okay, mark true or false, TRF. Our intellect has become somewhat darkened and harder to learn? True. Okay, how about our will has become weakened? We want to do the good, but the times are just too weak. Jesus said the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak? True. Okay, our emotions and passions are well ordered. We never become overly sad, nor fearful, nor discouraged, nor have a lack of peace in our hearts. Martha? False. Bodily health. We all never get sick.
False.
As we've got about three or four students aren't here for that reason. Okay, also tension in wars. Due to original sin, exist social tensions, disagreements, and eventually wars? True. You know, Our Lady of Fatima said 100 years ago that wars come because of sin. This is when the First World War was ending, and then she prophesied a worse world would break out when in 1938 with Adolf Hitler. So as a result of sin, wars are caused. How about death? Finally, death has come as a result of sin and that of original sin. Is that true, Max? Yes. So one day we all have to die. You know, the day nor the hour, but one day we're going to die. And the most important thing is to die in the state of grace, then we're going to be saved for all eternity. Right? Yeah. Okay, next. Can God bring good out of evil? What do you think? Yes, due to original sin, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, His Son, Jesus, to the world to teach us how to live, how to obey, how to love, and how to die. Jesus came to die for us on the cross, rise 3 days later, and to open up the gates of heaven for us. What does St. Augustine say about original sin? This great saint, St. Augustine, says, "Oh, happy fault, oh, happy fault that brought us Jesus the Savior. This happy fault is, of course, original sin." What is Catholic anthropology? Catholic anthropology teaches us this. Due to original sin and our human nature, which has been impaired, right in the blank, partially damaged. We have a strong pull. We have a strong pull, or tendency toward evil, or sin. Saint Thomas Aquinas calls this. Can you read that big word? Are you good? Reader? How do you pronounce that?
Concupiscence.
Good. Concupiscence. So the concupiscence, that's a tug toward evil. Tendency toward evil, the tug of war. I mean, pulled in the wrong direction. If we hold back through prayer and penance, we fall into the mud. Maybe they'll have the alligator, the crocodile, but you fall into the mud. Okay. How did God react to the original sin of our first parents? Oops, sorry. 15. Can we get out of original sin? Can we get rid of original sin? Yes. And this is done through the first sacrament we receive, the sacrament of Carla?
Baptism.
Baptism. So the child should be baptized as soon as possible. As soon as possible. Okay. Is there anyone born without original sin? Yes or no? Yes, there were two that were conceived and born without the stain of original sin, did not suffer its effects. Who were they? Jesus, good Jesus. Jesus being God, never had sin. He was perfect. Jesus, Son of God, made man. And the other would be Mary. Mary, she never had original sin. This privilege is called, Giovanni? Okay, good. Say it a little bit louder. The privilege is called the Immaculate Conception. Immaculate Conception. It is a very good habit to wear the medal in honor of Mary called the Miraculous Medal or the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. Buy it and wear it. Do any of you have that medal? How many of you wear?
There's one inside my chapel.
Same with me. Yep. Some of you have it? You're wearing it? Good. You have it too? Do any of you wear a scapular? No. Good. When I do my consecration mass that you've helped me out the past 3 years with your brother, we give the scapular, and inside the scapular we sew the Miraculous Medal and the Medal of St. Benedict, which is very powerful against the attacks of the devil. So it's actually sewed within it. It's a good idea to have your scapular and the Miraculous Medal, and the Blessed Mother can really protect you. It's not a good luck charm. It's not a good luck charm, but as you're saying that you want to have that as a reminder that Mary is present to you. And it's over your heart. So she's giving you an embrace, protecting you from the evils that surround us, and there's a lot of them. Okay. Next. How did this come about? Talking about the Immaculate Conception. How did this come about? The moment of Mary's conception, in the womb of her mother, do you know the mother Diana of Mary, her name? How about you? I'll give you a hint. There's in Orange County, there's a city named after. There's also a freeway named after him. Yeah. Giovanni? Good. Right. In Spanish, Anna. In English, you say St. Anne. Do any of you, let's see if you know your culture well, your geography. What is the most famous shrine to St. Anne in the world? Any of you know?
St. Anne de Beaupré.
Perfect. Yeah. Good. Yeah, I was there probably 50 years ago. You see all those crutches there. Did you see all the crutches? Because there's so many miracles there. So St. Anne de Beaupré, and I think it's Quebec, isn't it?
Yeah.
Montreal, in Quebec, yeah, well, the French-speaking part. You have all these different crutches, and it's kind of like Our Lady of Lourdes in France, where people go there. That's the most famous friend. Most famous sanctuary of St. Joseph would be also in Canada. Yep. St. Joseph.
I went there too.
You went there too? Montreal, right? The famous St. Andrew Bessette. Right? Yeah. Good. Okay, so her name is St. Anne would be... Oh, any of you know the husband of St. Anne, which would be the father of Mary? Good. Know how to say that in English? No, you're good. You're getting your Spanish a little bit. Any of you know how to say that in English? What? What? Jody?
No, I'm not sure.
It's pronounced Joachim. Spanish called Joaquin. And Joachim is the way we say it in English. And so he would be the husband of Anne, and he would be the father of Mary. So the grandparents of Jesus would be who? Anne and Joachim. He only had two grandparents, okay? Two grandparents. Joachim and Anne. Do you know when their feast is, Hayden? July 26th. Okay? Remember, July 26th every year. So they're the patron of grandparents. They're actually the patron of grandparents. Okay, so St. Anne, in the moment of Mary's conception, in the womb of her mother, St. Anne, God preserved Mary from the stain of original sin. So in our conception, original sin. Mary was preserved by a divine intervention. That's called the Immaculate Conception. The English poet exclaimed, with reference to the Immaculate Conception, Mary is our human nature's solitary boast. A prayer we can say to conclude the topic on original sin. And that prayer is, did you ever pray this prayer? O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us, have recourse to thee. Let's say another two times. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us, have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us, have recourse to thee. So let's say our prayer of consecration to Mary. You all have that? In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Prayer of consecration to Mary. Mary, my queen and my mother, and myself entirely to you. Show my devotion to you. I consecrate to you this day, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good mothers, I am you. Keep me, guard me as your property and possession. And okay. God bless and have a great weekend, okay?
Please stand.